CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? All right, let's get this show on the road this morning. We have lots of things to do. So we were going to have Gord on today because we usually have Gord on a Wednesday. In fact, Sia had organized it with Gord. And they were all excited. And then Sia, because he was struggling to get hold of Gord last week and the week before, he decided we were going to get Casper De Vries on. And we haven't spoken to Casper in such a long time. And I thought, well, you know what? Casper's very difficult to nail down. So we'll go with, try and get Casper, which is what Sia did. This is the real trials and tribulations of a producer that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's trying to get Casper on, and Casper confirms yesterday, and he's all excited. And we were all at the office yesterday, and I said to Sia, oh, that'll be fun. You know, he'll be, because he's one of the people I really want to know about during lockdown. Because he's such a weird guy, right? And he's just so different to everyone else. And then Gord calls Sia. He's like, oh, am I not on? And he was like genuinely upset. So we've moved Gord to next week, and we're hoping Casper will wake up this morning. But we've called his voicemail like 5 times, and he's just not answering.
It's a delightful day, isn't it?
Yeah, so we'll see. If Casper does wake up and he joins us, that'll be nice. Otherwise, you know, we've got you here. We'll talk to each other. So let's get cracking. Yeah, things to do, people to see, places to go. All right.
I'm just seeing new crow's feet, and that's just from the last 20 minutes of my life. But we'll move on.
You count those experiences as things that will teach you things. They're lessons in life. Nobody's going to look good. Nobody's going to look good eventually. We're all going to look old one day.
Well, another thing is I was talking to a person who produces a radio show a few months ago. And, you know, we often, I wouldn't call ourselves friends, but because we're in a similar line of work, we often get each other and what happens. And she said to me a few months ago, and you know, this mix wouldn't load. I thought, what? She goes, it was just so tough. We were like 25 minutes of the show. The mix wouldn't load. And I go, you have a 25 minute long mix.
I mean, there's not a point.
That's just what you can do.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, some people think they really work hard. And listen, maybe when people listen to this show, they think, oh, these two just sit there and talk shit. And, you know, occasionally someone pops in and it all seems so casual.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, compared to radio, this is hard work because we don't stop. The only break we take in the show is at 7 o'clock, and that's because we need to split the podcast. Otherwise, we'd just do 2 solid hours and keep going.
Look, yeah, now I have to say, in a moment like that, I was slightly envious to go, what are we going to do today? We'll play 7 songs.
Yeah, some kind of a mix at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when we were doing afternoons, because we did that show before Fresh did. And it was like a, I can't even remember what we called it, but it was before his Ultimix at 6 thing that he used to do. And then when we moved to mornings, I think we'd finish the show with some mix. And it was easy because you just sit there and then, you know, we'd all like, what are you all doing today? And fuck around, put our feet up on the desk and, you know, grab a coffee. Or it's just, you really do. And most radio people, they do. They spend most of their time just sitting there looking at the, you know, the computer screen and surfing for what they're going to buy that week on Amazon or whatever. They don't do any work.
Really, I'm not taking an intentional dig at radio, but no. I think I could do like 2 radio shows
a day
right now what we have. Yeah.
No, for sure. I'm so scared to even talk about this because people are going to, you know how they've never given you a break about your shitting yourself thing.
No,
I didn't shit myself, but I very nearly.
Oh.
You know when you think you might? Like, I was sitting working last night, and
so I feel bad already.
I can't believe I'm doing this. All right, so I got up, and I rushed to the bathroom because I was like, uh-oh, this is not a good, this doesn't feel. Because what I did is I had supper last night, and then instead of drinking my usual water, because I usually drink a lot of water during the day. But I must have had like a, I don't know, 750 mils to a liter of apple juice somewhere in the day. Ooh. And that just, you know, opens up the sluices. So I knew it was likely as an outcome. And funnily enough, that's something that someone told me once. Someone who was in the Olympics. They said to me, you want to shed some weight really fast. And they obviously, this is advisedly not for everybody, because I don't want to be the one who dispenses this advice and then someone, you know, shits themselves at work or worse. So apparently if you drink a lot of apple juice, then obviously it, you know, gives you the runs, but it clears out your digestive tract quite well.
Ooh, it's going to get you.
It's all kind of revolting. But then I made it to the bathroom on time and there was no kind of danger. But I was thinking about your situation the whole time.
Yep.
Because it's not good.
Oh, aren't these just the smallest, tiniest things that remind us how basic we are as human beings?
Well, this is it. And I've often said this, and I don't want to start the show and carry on too long on the lavatorial thing. But I've always said, like, it's so gross the way we have to, you know, and I often, like, think about animals that walk outside and, you know, they shit and then they kind of, my dog, like, kicks his back legs out and he's all proud of himself after he's made a shit. And I'm like, you know, this is not an achievement. And I always think after I've done any of that stuff, I'm always like, it's so gross. Like, humans are so disgusting. I'm so glad I live on my own because I never have to do that and someone else is around. I had this conversation with friends of mine, and they've been together for a long time, and she said she's never seen him take a dump, and he's never seen her. And I said, good, keep it that way. You two will have a happy...
Absolutely.
You never need to know that about someone. You must never be so close to someone that's okay, that you can do that and just carry on with your life. Keep that as a mystery. It's better that it's a mystery. There's some things you never need to share with another person. So it's just, I needed to get that off my chest because, you know, we always give you huge amounts of trouble about what you did. And I thought of you yesterday while it happened to me. Anyway,
thanks. In this weird way, you know, I burned my tongue yesterday morning.
On what?
And I was drinking tea. And the weird thing was, I made tea while I was home and then I traveled to the office. Yeah. So I thought it would have cooled down by the time I got to the office and was still piping hot. So you have this seared feeling on your tongue the whole day. And it was just a reminder as well, like, we are just simple, basic things.
We're such dumb creatures. We really are. The minute you think you're important, something like that happens to you and you're suddenly like, nope, I'm just a dumb fucking mammal. Yeah. But I like also reminding myself and other people of the dumb mammalian qualities that we all have and we all share. Because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We're like, oh, we're so clever. We can go to the moon. We can invent computers and we can develop Bitcoin and all of this shit. By the way, Bitcoin, I mean, it was almost at $50,000 yesterday and then it's dropped down now to $45,000. But it's just madness. Like, I know someone who, in fact, my sister's boyfriend was saying he knows somebody who, when Bitcoin just started, bought 100 Bitcoin. Okay. 100.
Sorry, I just received a message from Casper.
Oh, is he awake? What does he say?
Fuck, is what the message says.
So tell him he must come on now. It's fine.
There you go. Yeah, I'll deal with that in the back.
All right. So let me just quickly figure this out. This guy bought 100. So he bought 100 Bitcoin back when it started and it was dirt cheap and nobody was interested, right? So now his 100 Bitcoin are worth $4.5 million. All right. That's quite something. You know, multiply that by, 15 or 16 – that's 68 million rand. You know, I sometimes wish I had just like one break like that where because if money was never an issue, I think I'd be a very different person. I'm not like obsessing about money all the time either. But just imagine you everything you did because you wanted to and not because you had to. And you were looking for things to do, not because you had to survive. And you wouldn't put up with people's shit because you didn't need their survival money. You were doing it because you absolutely wanted to. It just changes everything. And I've seen this happen with people. I've seen people whose whole lives have just changed because, you know, they made one really good investment, or I've never met anyone who won the lotto, but something like that, where it just changes everything. And it's
even just a great business idea that sets them up for life.
And I mean,
they never
have
to work.
Sure. And obviously, you know, with a business, it takes a whole lot longer. And anyone who's ever started a business will tell you, well, those kinds of things don't just happen overnight. You have to build them up slowly. But gee, I mean, what a thing to 100 Bitcoin. That is quite cool.
I have to say, I am envious of people in positions like that. And especially if you have to build a business or even just write a great album. Mm. Yes, it is a lot of hard work. But once you're there, it's the thing of, I actually don't have to prove myself anymore.
Well, I mean,
don't need
do you remember,
to work as hard anymore.
Was it the movie Notting Hill where Hugh Grant had written that one jingle? And in the movie, he was like, he never had to work again because he wrote that one little song. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard these stories, I don't know if it's urban legend, about like the guy who wrote that sound that you hear when you shut down a Windows computer. Dee dee doo doo, that thing. Apparently the guy who wrote that never has to work again, because every time that plays, he gets some kind of royalty, or, you know, Windows paid him so much money for it that he never has to. I don't know. It might be bullshit, but like that, I could really do that life well. I look at that situation. I'm like, yeah, I could be that guy. Okay, I'd be so good at that. I'd be like, well, what do I feel like doing today? I think I will paint a beautiful painting. And I mean, these are all things that we could all do, right? So that there's no excuse. Nothing's stopping any of us from doing this stuff, especially since lockdown has happened. We've got time. Or I would, you know, I'd buy some, you know, beautiful thing that I've always looked at and thought, wow, that would look really nice on my wall in my house. Something like that. I just know I'd be good at it. It would be really interesting to watch me spend my money from my own point of view.
Just a new challenge of when and how do you spend your money every single day. You know, Lauryn Hill, she might not be the best example because she's a little cuckoo.
Yeah, totally.
But Lauryn Hill has only released one album.
Yes.
And then afterwards she goes touring when she wants
every now
and then, and she sings the exact same songs, but crowds still love her, even though she's 4 hours late. Then she'll go home and we won't hear of her for six months.
I like her. She has the right formula. Whatever she's done there, she's figured it out too. And she doesn't put up with shit. Listen, I sent you this clip of Jacob Zuma yesterday. So maybe before Casper gets on. And his new Instagram is Prez JG Zuma. And it says under the topic or the caption, I am still learning about this pity pit of social media. Love this guy.
Why is he doing this to himself?
No, I love this guy. So here he is. It just reminded me how much I like him. So I'm going to play the audio for you because, in fact, maybe I can just get it on my computer here. It's probably easier. Then you'll hear it properly. How do I get into my Insta? I haven't done Instagram on... Oh, God, this is so complicated.
Web.
Yeah, I've never used this.
Your Instagram.com, then you'd have to sign.
Yeah, I got it.
Now we're really getting people involved.
Now I have to do this. All right. Let's see if I can do this.
I didn't want to get too excited because remember as well when we thought it was his official Twitter account and then someone tried to dispute it. But this is like videos of him.
No, it's him.
You
it's
can't
definitely
fake
him.
That.
It's definitely him. All right, let me go to my messages because that's where I sent it to you from. What a great guy.
He's just trolling us.
Okay, here he is. Okay, here. President Jacob Gedlili Zuma. I love it. So here he is.
Hello, once again. I hear that some people are doubting whether I have joined the social media. Yes, it is me. I have. It is real. And I'm sure it's going to take time for people to get used to me being part of the conversation in the social media. And I know that, of course, some people have been using some fake accounts on behalf, I mean, on my name. But now it's me. I'm there. And, of course, with time, people will realize that I am engaging on the matters that have been there. I've not been engaging for a long time, and I just thought it was high time I do so.
Now,
you will get used to me.
Yeah.
I am part of the people, and I must be with them, and I must be in the conversation. Hello, once again.
I just love that. Now, I don't know if it's real, because this was, it says 2018 on it, but just seeing him again, I hate to say this, because I know everybody hates him so much, but when I saw that, it kind of made me smile. I felt like I missed him. You know, it's like when your drunk uncle tells you something funny at Christmas, and you're like, you know, this guy's not so bad. I missed him. I hate saying it because I know so many people.
I'm not there with you.
I missed him. And the way he put it as well is like, I'm still getting used to this pity of social media. I miss the way he talks. I miss the way that he would do that stuff. You know, he's still out there, and in some ways,
I think the cons outweigh the pros with this.
Okay, I hear you. Anushka's got some compliments for you, Sia, and I think a lot of people would echo this. Honestly, Sia's grown up so much since back in the day when we were introduced to him. At one point, he went to find himself, discover life, and look at you, Sia. Gareth, you have an eye for talent. Go, Sia. Well, it's not me. Sia contacted us. And
well,
you contacted us.
Thanks.
We didn't.
Yeah. That was, geez, I think I was still in high school, just about to finish. Look, that's a great compliment. I appreciate it, Anushka. But sometimes I think to have your trials and tribulations of growing up, imagine what you were doing at 21.
Yeah.
And then it's all
recorded.
Every single day.
You have like a record of growing up. And who was it that I thought of the other day who also has this? Because you could see how they grew up on television. Who was it? It was someone wasn't Alyssa Milano or someone like that, but it was someone quite famous. And I thought, well, there's this record. You can see them growing up on TV.
And there's definitely the good and bad with that.
Oh, yeah. Of course. So I see Casper has joined us. Let's welcome him this morning. Hey, Cassie.
Hi.
How's it? Are you sorting out your connection there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I missed it, eh?
No, it's fine. We only just started. You haven't missed that much.
Okay, yeah, but it's a nightmare. I'm unprofessional when it comes to that. I don't like that.
How are you? But, what's been happening, man?
I set my alarm and everything, but something must have gone horribly wrong.
Don't worry about it. I'm happy to see you. So how are you, first of all? Have you survived COVID? Have you been under lockdown, and have you been coping? Tell us your whole story.
Well, I will go and make myself a cup of coffee a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But while I'm waking up, I can tell you that I did survive.
Yeah.
And I've been in isolation most of the time. And it is actually fine, because that's the way I like to live, in a way.
So no real adaptation required, right?
No, but it's been hard. It's been a strange way of living to be without people for so long. But, you know, in the modern world, things adapt. So I got to know that there are people that will bring you food, that will go shopping for you.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things are there outside in the world these days. So I really just had to stay put That's all. Yeah. And
well, I'll tell you what, we've got to do headlines. So while we're doing that, you can go make some coffee and then we'll okay. chat and catch up properly now. So Casper De Vries okay, is our okay. special guest this morning. And we will chat to him in a moment. He's going to go and make a cup of coffee and get his morning
I'm
off.
I'm sorry,
to...
Sia.
Don't panic.
I'm sorry, Sia.
It's fine. Sia was exasperated.
No
with
problem.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you now. There's Casper. All right. So I'm excited to see him again. He's always hilarious. God, I love the guy. He's really funny.
He's awake and alive.
We used to see him every single week for like what 3 years. Every Friday yeah. he'd come in. And
every Friday, and you know that.
Oh, listen, a couple of corrections. So Pierre just pointed out quite rightly, it wasn't Notting Hill. It was about a boy. That the story of that guy who wrote that jingle and then had all that money. About a boy, a Hugh Grant movie, and it's from Nick Hornby's book. So a couple of bits of info there that are quite useful. Tracy.
But then what was the premise of Notting Hill then?
Notting Hill.
Hugh Grant was famous.
It was
goes to the town, Notting Hill.
That was the love story with Julia Roberts.
Okay. And she was a bookstore owner and
He was a bookstore owner and she was this huge celebrity and then they fell in love. And then
never mind.
About a boy is the story of this guy, and then he finds meaning in his life and this kid comes along. And I barely remember, but thanks for figuring that out for us. Tracy says, Gedlichlich is such a grandpa. I am on the social media. But that's, I like the ispiti-piti. That's a great word.
It makes sense that he started in December. It was probably when one of the 22 kids, the young ones, was there on school holiday with him. Said, Dad, you need to get onto this thing.
Can you imagine? Imagine those family dinners. God, that'll be incredible. I'd love to eavesdrop on that. Forget about the tea with Julius the other day. That's what a waste of time. No point in paying attention to that.
And they technically all are. Still our former first family, right? All 22, 23 of them. I've lost count.
For sure. And there are probably some of them that are still somewhere on the civil service list. You know, we're still paying for them somewhere. They're working for some government department. Because there's so many. I mean, we wouldn't know. I think I met someone with a surname Zuma the other day. I swear it could have been another kid that I didn't know about. Anyway, let's get to some headlines while we wait for Casper to get his coffee. So first of all, Parliament should hold the President more accountable. That is what a professor has told the Zondo Commission. Richard Calland, who is from UCT, says the President should be held more accountable by Parliament. According to Richard Calland, he was the latest to give evidence at the State Capture Inquiry. He says that a number of current and former MPs have been testifying, and he said that in 1994, parliamentary portfolio committees were set up to keep an eye on government departments, but this wasn't the case with the president or the presidency. He said that needed to be corrected. The commission's heard more evidence from various witnesses pointing to weaknesses in parliament's oversight authority. So in other words, just like we have committees that watch over finances and watch over home affairs and watch over all that stuff, we should have committees that watch over the president. In other news, City Power in Johannesburg on Tuesday denied what it called rumors about the entity allegedly procuring personal protective equipment irregularly. Oy, oy, oy. This is happening all the time, right? So apparently the City Power Department, which is obviously run by the ANC, which means already everybody should be suspicious. I hate that we have to say that, but it's become a norm now. So the DA has alleged the city's expenditure report showed false information that the Metro spent $234 million despite an internal audit report last year showing $600 million was the total spent on PPE. The mayor, Jeff Markubo, has announced that an internal audit into PPE procurement was being carried out alongside an investigation by the Special Investigating Unit. Now, I mean, if this is true, and it probably is, let's face it, how many times has there been an allegation of corruption and the ANC has not been found to be guilty of such corruption? So if this is true, it just is another example of like how they just, they're not afraid to spend money, I mean, to steal money during a crisis. Like, this is not during, it's not just the normal course of corrupt business. This is during a crisis. This is when people are so busy worrying about their health and their futures that they aren't paying attention to the stealing. And then the stealing starts. I mean, it's just very, very upsetting, right? Makes a hell of a story. Load shedding is back. Yes, Eskom is going to implement stage two tonight across parts of the country. Oh, Eskom, so good at what they do. I spoke to Canthan yesterday, and he told me that he's put solar in at his house, and he's very excited about that. So he's not going to be relying on Eskom anymore. My brother did it the other day. Apparently, a lot of the banks are making it available to their clients. So in other words, if you have a bond and you own a house, mm-hmm. Your bank may just help you to fund and finance going off the grid, which I think is terrific.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, it adds value to the property. But also, we know Eskom is going to get more and more expensive. They're going to try and fleece us out of more and more money going forward. So it makes sense for financial institutions to help you put in for 100,000+, I think is what it would cost an average house in the suburbs to do it, to spend that money as much as it is, because you'll save in the long run. So more and more people going off the grid, but Eskom saying that this was necessary, this load shedding that they're starting today, to preserve and replenish the emergency generation reserves. Blah, blah, blah. You don't believe them, and neither do I. They just can't get their act together. So
and also not just the belief, any sort of statement from them right now doesn't mean anything. No. It's like we've heard it all before.
Yeah, I don't care. There's nothing going on here.
Now we must be extra sympathetic because, well, oh, yes, oh, because Sol is going through this and Matupi and whatever those stations are called.
So from 10 o'clock last night until 5 in the morning this morning, and then they might do it again. So just be aware that that's probably going to happen if if you suddenly experience a power problem. Guess what? I mean, I don't have to tell you that because you know already. And then the pilot in the Kobe Bryant crash, which was a year ago. I mean, it feels like so much longer, but it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Was probably disorientated. Ara Zobayan, who was the pilot of the Chartered Island Express helicopter, suffered from spatial disorientation, the National Transportation Safety Board said. So apparently the pilot became disoriented after flying into clouds, and that was what caused the accident, because they obviously take them a while to investigate these things. Also likely contributing to the January 26th, 2020 crash in Calabasas in California was self-induced pressure on the pilot to complete the flight for his celebrity client. So all of those things must have made a difference, and that's one of the findings that has come out from the research that they've done into exactly how that helicopter crash occurred, and how Kobe and was his daughter, right, was on the flight with him.
Yeah, and some other families as well.
And then there is a Nigerian who is behind the abduction of school children, and he has surrendered in Nigeria, a Nigerian criminal gang leader who was behind the kidnapping of hundreds of school children in northwestern Katsina State in December, surrendered to authorities in an amnesty deal. Awulan Daudawa, I hope I got that right, and if I didn't, who cares, right, led dozens of gunmen who snatched students from their school hostels in a crime that sparked global outrage. The abductions happened when the president of Nigeria was visiting his home state of Katsina. Some students managed to escape, and officials said around 340 were freed days later. But they caught the guy who did it, and he's going to jail, which is excellent. He and his comrades surrendered 20 Kalashnikov rifles and other weapons, and exchange will not, those ones who handed them over will not be prosecuted. But they found the bad kingpin, and he's going to jail. All right, so Casper De Vries is with us. It is a Wednesday morning. We are here to keep you company today and to chat and talk nonsense and wake you up and get your day started. I want to find out from Casper what's been happening. What's going on with, like, work and stuff? Because I saw you were really busy when we last checked in with you. Last year sometime, before Corona hit, and I know the entertainment...
Yeah.
Entertainment,
it was-
yeah?
Sorry?
No, no. The entertainment industry is in all kinds of shit at the moment. So how are you doing and what kind of work are you able to do?
Well, we were on our way up. I think I last spoke to you just before the launch of a TV series with sketches again on CakeNet.
Yeah.
And then COVID sort of entered our whole world.
Yeah.
And we were just in time. We were just finished with editing and all that, so that the show could go on, and it did. And where am I?
No, I've just switched your camera off so we have a better connection to your sound.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't like my look. I didn't like my look either. I looked strange.
No, it's just it uses less bandwidth when we cut off the picture.
I understand. The show went on.
Mm-hmm.
But then the reaction to the show, it was like one of the greatest shocks of my life was that the people that I used to know, I thought I knew on mm-hmm. CakeNet, the CakeNet viewers.
Right.
I started there, you know, and mm-hmm. I made my name for myself there, and people liked it. But it was a different time, alas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was younger people. They absolutely hated the show. They thought I was the devil's spawn. It was horrible. They couldn't understand it. They didn't see the fun in the satire. And sort of the CakeNet people, the people running it, that's Karn Meyering and the rest, but they're all – Karn is oldish, but the rest are quite young. And they were all very excited. And then as the hate started to hit them, I think they never encountered that in their lives. So they grew quiet. Shame. I felt for them.
So, Casper, this is really interesting because you've always pushed the boundaries, and I think they must have known this when they commissioned you. I mean, they seem to be – there's nobody with balls in television anymore. And I mean, I remember when I started the first season of Idols and when we did my TV talk show, there were some commissioners there and there were some people in television who didn't – Hulle nie gesteer aan dom mense, and they didn't worry about stupid people who made a noise on social media or in the old days who wrote letters, you know, because what you realize about those people is that they're mostly looking for attention. They mostly just want to be noticed. They want someone to go, you know, okay, we recognize that you exist, because they don't normally get a lot of attention. And so when you do a show like this, and the channel is excited about it, and you know that you've obviously thought through these characters and you're going to do sketch comedy. Mm. So the funny thing about 2020 and 2021 and for a few years before that, and probably going forward into the future, I don't know, and the past that we used to understand, was that if you didn't like a show before, you just didn't watch it or you switched it off. Now,
that was the thing.
Now you try to get that show cancelled, which is ridiculous. I mean, how else how are we meant to get like a variety of shows? How are we meant to get a variety of opinions? How are we meant to know what's out there if we only allow the stuff that doesn't get complaints onto TV? Because we know that that's going to be the most boring stuff, right?
The thing is, didn't Pop Idol start also around 2001.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so that's when I started as well.
Mm.
So it's like the same time, the same kind of vibe, because the Mnet people and the CakeNet people were virtually the same.
Yeah.
And things have changed, I can tell you. The people have grown, I don't know what, aggressive and ugly.
Yeah.
And racist, and very unsatisfied, dissatisfied with the world. They're horrible people. And I didn't expect that. And it felt like a dagger in my back, basically. Look, we did have good feedback. I know it was a fucking good show.
Yeah.
So it was taken up by Showmax. And the reaction since then has been better because it's been less Afrikaans people watching that and on Showmax and more South Africans.
Yeah.
But I think I suffered. I suffered psychologically because of the reaction, because people just told me what an absolute waste of life I was, and I couldn't understand it. I thought, my good, but the show is so good.
You know, can I pick up on something you said now? You said you used the word hate, and ironically, the people who complain about shows like yours or who talk about how, you know, everybody needs to think the way they think, these cancel culture people, because that's what they are, online, and I want to Sia's got an example of this that we must talk about later on in the show. But these cancel culture people, ironically, they're the ones who always say, oh, there's too much hate online and we've got to stop this and we've got to stop that and we've got to cancel this. But they are so full of hatred themselves.
Absolutely. And the thing is what they also want. And I had a section in the show called Die Lager, which was like Survivor for Voortrekkers. And that is the actual thing that they have. They've got the lager of sentimentality or whatever.
Yeah.
So they don't want to switch channels. They don't want to sit there and watch the same cock over and over and over. And they don't want to be taxed with something new. I immediately understood that I was an intruder. And I don't want to be an intruder in their fucking small world.
But all right.
I just want to program.
Let me ask you something else, and this is probably going to get a bit close to the bone, but I know you don't hold back on your opinions. So what is going on here? Because Tracy says it seems like young Afrikaans CakeNet viewers prefer the copy and paste Vorse machine of culture drab. Casper's probably too much for them. So the easiest thing, because they don't agree with it, is to cancel it and then broadcast and announce everywhere their virtuous act of canceling him. It's rather pathetic. I love you, Casper, even before Valchvors. So Tracy's hit on something here, which I think is interesting. Like I often will go through the channels when I'm watching TV and I'll just see what's going on like Africa Magic and I'll look at what's happening on, but CakeNet is, CakeNet is so like middle of the road and watered down, and it's trying so hard. Look, TV in general, everybody's trying so hard to be inoffensive and to be middle of the road, because they're more afraid of getting complaints than they are of pleasing the audience.
Yes, but that's the deal thing, because they tell you beforehand, look, there might be complaints, but we will handle it. We will protect you. That's all bullshit. They really don't want complaints. They really don't want to upset the court. Right. So they play a game they've heard somewhere of you say these things. But really, the young people have left CakeNet. The viewers. The young people are there. They mostly gay, and they sit there and they run the fucking channel. But they are so scared. And Karen is very conservative. I mean, she doesn't like it when people attack a program. So she didn't like the reaction. Even though she said before, in front of me, you know, she, oh, it's a wonderful program and all that. That's all bullshit. They don't want to upset the whole thing. So it's a certain amount of
people. Listen, I think
a group of people between, I would say about 39 to 60 or more who watch this and yeah. who don't understand it whatsoever. They've got no.
Listen, I mean, let's give credit though, because I know Karen Mayring has really done an enormous amount for Afrikaans and for television, and she's a tremendously talented person who's got great ideas and has built this channel from the ground up. And I know that there are lots of people there who work very hard, and they're doing a great job. By and large, for having created an industry where there wasn't one. I mean, like, it's amazing. CakeNet commissions more shows than any other channel, pretty much. And they are it's a good business. Like, they run it well. So maybe you and I don't know what we're talking about. But the thing that bothers me is that they that they respond to every criticism. Like, some criticism you can just ignore, especially if those people don't actually have your best interests at heart. And I know that the people who complain about your show, it's not because they care about your show. It's because they just want to get attention. They just want to be listened to. And they want to feel important when your show gets canceled. They don't watch CakeNet. They don't care about CakeNet. They probably haven't even seen your show.
The thing is that it is what you said is true in a way, but Karen didn't build up CakeNet. I was with CakeNet before Karen, before she was still running Afrikaanse festivals or something.
Yeah.
And then she got picked and she came to run CakeNet. And we got along. I mean, I know her since she was a stage manager.
Right.
We know each other for years.
Okay.
And she went on a course and they taught her certain things, I suppose. And then the channel changed. Its direction, its soul. Something happened that SABC 2 viewers came across and the bitter ones and a lot of racist ones, and they came to sit there and they want braai met my en dan wil ons hê boerebeskuit resepte and then we want on the road with a 4x4,
yeah.
And they were just to sit there and just watch that cock over and
over.
And
it's such shit.
So
that is
I
such
thought
shit.
CakeNet
yeah.
was like my all my people, you yeah. know. So I was bitterly, bitterly taken aback. Why then would they commission me to do this show? I couldn't understand it. They also thought, oh, it's still Casper's audience still there. Casper's audience is not there anymore. I don't know where the hell they are, but they're not at CakeNet anymore. Some of them are at Showmax. And I can tell you, the series, I watched it a couple of times after all these setbacks, and it's really bloody good. It's a good series.
So is it still available? Can we still get it on Showmax, for example?
It's on Showmax still, okay. Kassie.
Yeah.
People can watch it there. But the amount of hate that I got, I don't know what they got at CakeNet, but I was just told what a worthless human being I am, and I'm a liberal, and it's all stuff like that. Because we have on our Groot Trek Survivor show, we had like a mixed bag of South Africans.
Yeah.
Competing, and that was too liberal for them. that's too liberal. And I said, do we still have
Casper.
Fucking people like this in this country? I can't understand it. And you know, I don't want to entertain them. I don't want to sneak in the door. Excuse me, I want to entertain you.
Yeah.
I want to say, go fuck yourself. But I still want to make my shows, which are good.
Yeah. See, you wanted to.
But
ask-
Casper, that's another problem. Yeah, that's another problem. It's one thing to say you don't like a show, but to go after you as a person and attack your personality, that's just. That's straight up hateful. There's no need for that.
Yeah. No.
It's mean. How do you deal with that? I mean, you used to just laugh it off, but I know that it still hurts.
No.
It hurts me occasionally.
I actually had an effect on me this time, I must say, because
really?
It was quite a lot. Yeah, and I felt worthless at some stage, and what the hell is happening? And yeah, I didn't want to get out of bed for a couple of days. It wasn't good. And then also because CakeNet, as they promised, they had no backing for me. They had no backup system. So they just sort of quietly disappeared. And here I was sitting with this fucking show that I was promised they will protect me with. and it was a very lonely time. I think I've had a few knocks, but nevertheless,
soldier on.
Overcome. Sorry, that's the
we
word.
We shall overcome. Yeah, that's good.
We shall come over. That is
something. All right. Well, have you been able to get out at all during lockdown? I mean, have you seen friends? Have you been able to do normal stuff?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, life has changed dramatically.
No.
I stay now at a place which is very, very nice, very quiet, with in nature, with voelkies and all on the cock. So that is quite good for the soul.
Yeah.
And I get people to come here and visit me when we can, when it's not lockdown.
Yeah.
But no, my life has changed a lot, I must say. And I must say I miss Cliff Central. I really miss it. You know, I think back with fondness of it.
Well, we miss you. It's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on. But what do you think of COVID? I mean, what do you think of all of this lockdown stuff? Because everyone has an opinion, and I really wanted to know what yours was.
Opinion in terms of sickness.
What you think of it, what you think, whether you think it's been a good idea for the government to have done the things that they've done, what you think the overall effect of this is going to be on people. Because you've seen, you know, you've lived longer than me. You know a little bit more than I do.
Yeah, well, I think entertainment will change as already and will.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's the last place we as human beings go to look at compensation as entertainment. So, I mean, I haven't gotten anything in yet, but then I'm very particular on what I want. So yeah, I don't want to just sit there in a sitting room and do a streaming show. I found that common. You know, a lot of people did that, but they wanted to get money. So that is fine. But the theater has suffered, you know.
Yeah, sure.
There's no one there.
Weren't you doing pantomime as well at some stage in the last year or so?
Yeah. I did the last non-COVID pantomime, and they announced the next one, and then COVID happened. I loved the pantomime. I loved it so much. It was fun, and to work with a lot of people and not be yourself, because, you know, when my kind of work, especially when it's radio or a stage one-man show, it's all about yourself.
Yeah.
You know. And now you take the attention and you split it to all the other people. And we had lots of fun.
That's fantastic.
I must say. And I really think that was a highlight for me in my life.
Were you worried about getting sick at all when the whole thing started?
I'm so secluded here that no, I mean, it would have been someone who has it who would have had to come in here and speak to me, but then I lathered myself with Dettol and masks. So no, so far nothing has happened in terms of that, but I accept it's a new way of living, and as a human being, I sit back and I sometimes do strange things, and I go back to a news broadcast of 2000 or December 99, and I look at it and I see how naive, or not naive, but how lucky we were then. Everyone walking around, touching, spitting, talking, running to Kira, and now, you know, it's all these masks and stuff, and it's like we used to laugh at Japan or Michael Jackson and say, what the hell are you doing? And now we're all like,
yes.
Oh, that's a good point. Because I used to think there were some people, even in this country, who would go and shop with a mask on. And I always thought, what the hell are you so paranoid about? And now we're all forced to do it, whether we like it or not. And it is kind of bizarre.
Now we're all,
it is really bizarre. And you know, I was thinking, if you had shown me a clip of people going to the shops and driving in their cars with masks on and doing all their daily things with masks on. And you'd shown me that 10 years ago, I would have said to you, that looks ridiculous. That doesn't seem like something that could possibly happen.
Absolutely. It's like a movie. It's like a Hollywood movie. And sometimes I do that with myself. I take myself back a bit and watch the world from that perspective. And I say, oh, look at all these people. I mean, if you didn't know what was going on, you would have been so interested, Casper, in what the hell happened.
Yeah. No, it's all so bizarre.
Why are we in such a situation? So I don't know. I cannot predict what's going to happen. How movies and theater and holidays and all that will be influenced, but it will be for sure. I mean, we've entered a very strange era. That is the fact.
So what about? I mean, first of all, I got to tell you, I think about you often because I've got one of your paintings, which I go past every single day. And then I've been thinking about you from time to time. Do you still paint? You still doing that?
Mm-hmm. I still do. I still paint. I still change my styles up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't come to the point where you paint 950 trees and they all look the same. I'm not there yet. Some artists come to that where they go, okay, I'm gonna have an eye and then it'll be a spider and then it'll be a red line and that'll be my painting, and everyone buys the same fucking painting over and over and again, and it actually all looks the same. Mine is not. I am now with, if you can believe it or not, Egyptians. I'm now into the Egyptian culture.
Wow. Yeah, that would be very interesting. And the other thing is, so the painting was one thing I wanted to ask you about. The other one is, you remember all those interviews you did? I mean, you had people in like Leo Sayer and some really cool people.
Sorry, and?
No. I was just thinking about him because I heard one of his songs the other day and thought, but for God's sake, you had him in the studio not so long ago, and it was quite cool. There were also all the you had those pole dances for a couple of weeks in a row. You used to have the Mr. What was it called?
Mr. A Cliff Central.
Mr. Here comes the boys of
Cliff Central.
You used to have like beauty pageants and all of that stuff.
Skin and Skinner.
Tried everything. I loved it. Yeah, and then sometimes when I see this guy or a girl in South Africa that's well known, and I always wanted to talk to them from the old school, you know, I would try and get hold of them, like Leo Sayer, that guy who knew a lot about art. What was his name? He's dead now. He's a South African, but he did a lot about art. He knew everything about art. He would tell you that Monet was painted with Monet.
Stefan Veltz.
Stefan
Veltz?
Yes.
Is that him? Yeah.
Yeah, he could tell you. Now, when he painted this one Monet, he had a tummy problem. You can see it in the green he used.
That's amazing.
That was so good.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that show was definitely one of a kind. I don't know that anybody's ever come close to doing a show like that since you left. Yeah. And of course, the other thing,
you know, thanks to your show or the opportunity you gave me, something like Con Sasturi, which is animation, that became part of Casa Picasso, and it looked so good. And it caused a lot of upset because the Afrikaners, if you say church, they cock in their duka.
Yeah, they do.
For some reason. I don't know what is that conservative streak of them, because we know we combed through it. We said, take out the crosses, take out everything that can upset Umlasi in Tani Katrina. Let's make, you know, still now. Oh, it's anti. He's an anti-Christ. And then you look at things like Family Guy and Simpsons.
These guys get away they get away with everything.
Yeah, and we were taming it down because the whole thing for us was to make it about the Afrikaner culture. And within the Afrikaner culture, there is a certain way you behave in church. And so we had a bit of a laugh about that. But it's unfortunately, God has cursed me with a very strange culture that I must now fucking cope with.
Wow. All right. Well, we got to take a 7 o'clock break to do the podcast, and we'll be back in a moment or two. And we'll also let you talk to Casper if you've got anything you want to ask him. And if you're a big fan of the Casper radio show, then you can give us a shout. You can do that on Webinar Jam. Just use the, what is it again? Push to talk, or what is the button?
Request
to speak button with Sia. And then, of course, you can also get hold of us on 0797482090. And if you want to email us, gareth@cliffcentral.com, tell us what you're up to this morning. And we'd like to put your questions to Casper as well. Stick around.
Cliffcentral.com.